Yeah, so let's finish off our discussion at present of Boer. Again, there's so much more, obviously, to talk about in terms of all these issues. Boer is a very fascinating topic, but we were in the middle of just finishing up the Makoros that we had seen, and I want to start discussing Adam Amazigh, again, to survey some of the issues there as well. Okay, so with regard to Boer, in finishing up, first of all, just to mention, regarding the Sugya Nun Aleph from an Aleph, the Gemara tries to bring a Raya from Makkah. We already noted that the Gemara also has a comment that in order to be Chayav for a Makkah, the mitzvah of Makkah, you have to have 10 Amos, that you need a shame bias. And I was suggesting that this might be, again, I still want to do that, Los Asim Damim Devesacha and Makkah. At some point we'll get to that topic. I was suggesting that Makkah could just be a bit of Harchakas Nezakim, in which case it really belongs very much to the Sugya of Boer and to the Sugya of Nizke Mamon, but that it's also possible either as like a special dimension in that, or even more as kind of a standalone, again, obviously related, there's a lot of overlap, that maybe it's a din in bias itself, and the architecture of the bias, and that beyond, either it's an expansion of Archalkas Nezakin due to that, or just, again, more even independent of it, that, a person's home reflects the values, that he holds dear, and that are, core and central to his life. And therefore, the safety of his home is Dafka din bias, Dafka is home, has to reflect certain values, certain very high standard. Mashal Amad Avadom, again, the Parsha that we don't get to Parsha this Monday because our schedule is a little bit askew, but in this past week's Parsha, Parsha that we read yesterday, so, Chazal say, and Rashi quotes it, that Yosef wanted to identify himself to his father. When his father first heard that Yosef was alive, so he was, somewhat skeptical. And then the Torah says that, he heard Divrei Yosef, they told him Divrei Yosef, and he saw the Angolos, and then, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov, which Chazal say is like, the return of his Nebuah, or Ashras Hashchina. And then the next pasuk is Vayomer Yisrael. Mostly, with one exception, the name Yisrael is absent in the whole almost narrative of Yaakov Avinu from the time that he fears or that he thinks that he's lost Yosef. And I think that that's an important symbol. Anyways, so Chazal say, what was it about these, what is it that he heard and what is it that he saw, that went from like skepticism to, to conviction and tchi ruach, rejuvenating his spirit and bringing back Yisrael. So they say that it was, the last, I guess, Vishinanta Levanecha that he had with Yosef, the Limud HaTorah that Yosef sent him like a signal, that I'm still the same Yosef, I'm still prepared for the last sugya. And that the particular sugya was the sugya of Egla Rufa. So I always thought, personal speculation, that the Egla Rufa part of it in particular is a very symbolic statement. Because basically, Yosef and his brothers, had obviously a very difficult time. We talked about it again a little in our Mondays, that, he goes to Dosaina, and, he's supposed to, seek his brothers, Esachai and Nidoresh. That's what Yaakov wants him to do. That's what he's trying to do. The brothers see him, in a very different way, not in a brotherly way. And that's, part of the story of Yosef. Again, Shimon and Levi leading the charge, but, the same Shimon and Levi of Dina are the Shimon and Levi of Yosef. And that's, one of the things that I mentioned, I think, the last time that we talked about the Parsha. So in a way, the story of Yosef, and that's what we talk about, Asar Haruge Malchus, that the Mechiras Yosef, no matter how justified from the brother's point of view, was like a terrible breach of the Achva of Klal Yisrael and the standards that Klal Yisrael are obligated, to cultivate and to practice. and so what does all this stuff do with anything? So Yosef has been away for many years. He's been in Mitzrayim, even if it is Yosef. The question is it the same Yosef, or has he been, you know, transformed by decades, you know, in a very different culture, or and by the obviously toxic, you know, whatever it is that happened, you know, between him and his brothers, you know, it all went, you know, opposite of the way that it was supposed to. So instead of them bonding, obviously, you know, what happened was the opposite of achva. So Yosef wanted to demonstrate to his father, you know, that he was the same Yosef, and that he, you know, not only still valued the, you know, the kesher of father and son, Rebbe and Talmud, but that he also still was committed, you know, to the values of a much higher standard, you know, of responsibility, of arvus, whatever you want to call it, or achva, or arvus, which is a kind of expression of achva. So that's Vayara suggestion. Vayara sa'agalos, because the whole parsha of Egla Rufa is really the parsha of, you know, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where that halacha applies, like that's why it applies, of extra, you know, responsibility. As what Chazal say in the Gemara in Sota, that the Zikni Ha'ir say, Yadenu lo shafchu es adam azeh. And then the Gemara says, V'chisolka daitach, do you really think that the Skenim are the murder suspects in this anonymous, you know, corpse that turns up in the city? So they say, you know, what they meant was, you know, lo patarnuhu below lina, below shtia, like we didn't, you know, send him into the streets, you know. It's not our fault that he was, like, you know, all on his own and unprotected. But I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. The way I understand it is that what Chazal is saying is something very profound. Not just Lebaisa, they didn't, you know, they didn't have a gamach, you know, where he could stay some night, or to give him a, you know, a soup kitchen where he could, you know, find a meal, you know, or some clothing. But what they were really saying was that we, the Zikne Ha'ir, understand that we're responsible for the climate, you know, of the city. That it's our, as the leaders of the town, it's important, right, that we take extra responsibility to project, you know, the idea that everybody who comes here is safe and is protected, you know, and is treated like a brother, like a, you know, according to the dictates of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh LaZeh. So that, I think, is what Yosef was trying to say to Yaakov. You know, don't worry, you know, that I've been away this long, or, and what happened, you know, that got me to this point, you know, because I really still understand it, and I'm still really committed to it. Hey, why am I telling all this? So, there are certain dinim that have to do with, again, harkakas and zakin, as we've discussed, like Nizke Shechenim and Hezek Re'ia, when I was talking about Perakei, Hilchos Nizke Mamon Halacha Aleph, in the Rambam, you know, as part of our Hakdama. So one of the things I was trying to say was that, you know, that extra mile, you know, in terms of, you know, I don't have to absorb, you know, your attack and then take you to court, you know, for the same reason that, you know, Poshea is Kemazik, and for the same reason that there's something called Nizke Shkenim, you know, and so on and so forth. Namely, that there's a certain, you know, framework or expectation of Lifnim Meshur HaSadin that doesn't remain Lifnim Meshur HaSadin. That's my ha'ara on these things. I think it's a very, you know, central, like, theme or tenet in Yadus, what I call the overlap or the interface between Yoredeya and Chosha Mishpat, where, you know, you have these, you know, obligations, but they redefine, you know, other things. So they don't just remain, you know, Shebal Tasa, like Poshea is Kemazik, and Shkenim have this extra obligation to protect each other in terms of privacy. And if you don't, that's called Hezek Re'ia, even though maybe according to the standards of Nezek itself, it wouldn't qualify. To Grumma-esque, to Shebal Tasa, you know, and so on and so forth. So the Zikne Ha'ir and the Egla Rufa say Yodeinu lo shafkos adam azeh, because we don't really think that they did anything wrong, but they need to also declare, you know, that as far as they, you know, are concerned, you know, they understand their obligation, you know, to cultivate like a certain sensibility, a certain mentality, you know, in their town. So when a person builds a home, where he owns a home, right? In addition, you can say, well, it's his home. And this, again, part of the story of Niske Mamon, right? What is your obligation, even a boor, like, you know, the boor that you own? Part of the, certainly part of the discussion of Rav Shmuel and others, namely, you know, technically, if I own something, I shouldn't be restricted in what I can do with my own property. Again, we began the year with the Hasidim HaRishonim, you know, who used to bury, you know, into the ground the hazards on their property. But it's their property, right? Their property, in some cases, their boor, you know, and in all cases, their home. So if they want to, if I want to take a chance, or I know that I'm very careful, you know, why do I have to have a maken? Why is there a separate iser of losasim dam and bevezacha? But maybe there's a special din. It's not just, you know, an extension of the regular dinim of archakas nezakin. Maybe there's an added element of archakas nezakin that dafka is applicable, you know, in a home situation, because your home reflects your values. Anyways, what am I telling you? So they, in the sugya, it sounds that way. Tosfos in Peretz asks the question based on the Gemara's seeming conclusion, right, that if an animal falls, you know, and his, the fall, let's say, to the point of contact is more than 10 tvachim, right, that that constitutes, you know, a basis for treifa, a basis for perhaps for chiyuv bor, right, the pashtus of the Gemara. So if that's true, says Reinu Peretz, Alatar, here in Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, so why is it also true that when you build a makkah, why is there a shear of 10 tvachim? Why not say that, you know, most people standing, you know, there's a certain, you know, height, I guess, or distance from the ground to the point of contact, you know, that, you know, so you shouldn't require 10 tvachim for a makkah, you should require, you know, 6 tvachim or 7 tvachim or whatever the case may be. So the Tosfos Ben Peretz himself answers that typically people use their roofs, you know, while they're sitting, not while they're standing. Okay, but what I would say is that, you know, even if that's an interesting answer, I don't know, you know, let's say it isn't true. So if people start using their roofs, you know, while they're standing, they have, you know, events up there, etc. So really the chiyuv makeh would then now be 6 tvachim or 7 tvachim? Or you'd have to, you know, if you want to low plug it, so you'd have to start, you know, charting, you know, people's height, or, you know, to the sensitive points of contact of the, you know, potential nezek. But I think that the idea is that very much like bor itself, that if makeh is a din in the bias, and it's a din in the structure of the house, then the kula and the chumra, you're going to get chumras and you're going to get kulas. But the point is that the makom, you know, requires a makeh. You know, if it wasn't your home, maybe, and if it was technically, it was your home, but al pidin it wasn't your home because it wasn't ten amos, let's say you live in this place, so what? I mean, so just like there are kulas, there are, just like there are chumras, there are going to be kulas. Maybe the din is really a din in Beisacha. And therefore, again, it has to chefza shel makom more than it does, you know, to the, again, if there was no actual hazards, you know, then this chefza shel makom wouldn't be defining either. But that's something to think about. Okay. Secondly, just to make clear one point, which I thought we did make clear, but if in case we didn't. So we were talking about Tchilas HaBashir V'Sof HaBa'ones. So we already encountered the view of Balamor and the discussion, you know, whether it applies to Bor at all. That's very Bodash if it doesn't. But even if it does, just to make clear, I did mention the possibility of distinguishing between Bor Nezek and Bor Katala could be entertained for two different reasons. Number one, if we think that the mechayiv of Bor Katala and Bor Nezek themselves are different, then we might be mechalik between applying Tchilas HaBashir V'Sof HaBa'ones from one in one context as opposed to the other. That's one issue. But the second issue is that from Bor Nezek to Bor Misa or vice versa, between them, That should possibly depend on the question of whether or not chalos bor nezek and chalos bor takala are two avos in the sense of being two chaloses or not. I thought I said that, but if I didn't say it, because Moshe asked me afterwards, I just wanted to make that point perfectly clear. Now again, there is still, it's similar to what we said about Shem and Regel. You know, in general, according to the Rishonim, that you don't say chalos b'shiv sofa ba'ones across avos nezikin. Again, if you think you do, then, you know, that could be explained in all ways, or it could be because we think the avos nezikin aren't that different from each other, and that the tzad hashaveh is, you know, much greater than the differences between them. Shev v'regel is a great example, because we know that, you know, they're so close, you know, despite their differences, and there's also debate, you know, how different they really are. So that's an important chiluk. But of course, within bor, if there are two avos of bor, we mean them, I mean two chaloses, especially if there are two mechaibin. But even two chaloses, so that is kind of, you know, on the border, you know, in the hierarchy. In other words, two completely disparate types of avos nezikin is one case. Shein and regel is the second case. And let's say, you know, two bors would be a third case. But that certainly is an important possible nafkamina. Again, with the Rajba was, we had this in a couple of contexts. The Rajba was asking, as I said the last time, within Bor Katala itself. He was just saying that, you know, if you think that, you know, that the impact of Ten Tvachim, you know, is Koveya for Bor Misa, then, you know, maybe it should be Koveya, Tchilasa Mepshiya V'sofa Ba'ones, even when, you know, all you have is, you know, Igandari, you know, in less. But he wasn't asking from Bor Nezek to Bor Misa. One could have said that this is the point from Bor Nezek to Bor Misa, and that is what I was pointing out in the Rambam, that the Rambam uses the expression ones, and you could ask, you know, to explain why if an animal dies when the boar is not kedei lahamis, that, you know, that you would be a potter in that case. And we discussed different ways to explain that Rambam. But one of the things I was trying to suggest was that if he, you know, really means onus, then you could ask the question, what about tefilas v'pshia, the sofo ba'onus? Again, if you think there is no such din in boar, that's the answer. If there's no such din, you know, from nezek to Misa, for various reasons, that could be partially the answer as well. But either way, this is what we were talking about in terms of Tzvel Simshiv Tzvel Bonus, and we should, you know, keep an eye open for it, because there's a lot more to talk about. Having said that, just one other point, just on the Onus point. When we were talking about the Psak of the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Trefos in Siman Nun Ches, so we noted that in Choshe Mishpat, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch seem to adopt mostly the view of the Rajba, Tosa Rosh, what I think is the view of the Rambam, namely that in order to be chayiv for Nezakin, for Nizke Bor, you need a Chefta Shobor, right, which has, you know, 10 Tvachim. It's not enough that you have a Nefila, that you have an impact of Nefilas 10 Tvachim. That seems to be clearly the view of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Taf Yud. And yet, when it comes to Trefa, in Siman Nun Ches and Yoredeya, you know, there, unlike the Rambam, in other words, the Rambam is consistent and speaks about the requirement of Bor, of Ten Tvachim, you know, in Trefas, in El Shechita, in other words, and in Nizkei Mamo. Other Rishonim think that, you know, in both cases, you know, the impact of Ten Tvachim is all that you require. Right? The let's say the Ravid, you know, will say, you know, it depends, you know, what kind of trefa we're talking about. If we're talking about a trefa of Risa Kalei Varim, or a trefa of, you know, Nishpa Ragla Lamala Miarkova, or Darkuva, or, you know, Gugoles, or Shedra, etc. Right. But in the Shulchan Aruch, as I say, and the Tur, you seem to have a discrepancy, and the question is why. So, again, I think the best answer is the Rajba, and what I think is the Rambam, and that is, again, this idea that, you know, if you're talking about you know, the status of the behema as a trefa, then the impact is what's koveya. But if you're talking about being mechayev mishum bor, and what I'm trying to explain is that it's more than a gzeras hakasu, it's a din in the shem takala legabe katala, so that depends on the chafetz shel bor. However, the Nosa Kalim didn't necessarily understand it that way, so I mentioned that the Bach and the Taz, you know, both mentioned the distinction between Safek Trefa and Safek Mama. And then I think somebody pointed out that the Taz mentions it. The Bach says it, I think Isaac read it for us. And then the Taz quotes that position as well. But just I was looking at it again, the Taz mostly likes the view of the Amshel Shlomo. The Amshel Shlomo explanation is actually based on Onos. I just wanted to talk about that again for one more second to point out. He quotes the idea that in Achanami, the case of Rav Nachman, is a case where the animal fell and had an impact of ten tefachim. But he was saying that that isn't matsui or ragil. That's what he preferred. That's a quote of the here. Minanokat kresa mashmash the behemo medes is nun chasala minofeles myri those modim hayun tvachim mi kresa nahainu adla aretz yeshtal tvachim vimeshim bar vav tvachim trefa kedisu bigabara shemevi beis yosef lahutzuka bar amok yud elim ken shashor munach umizgalgel la aretz those abeten shalashor va aretz shavik va beis yosef tamba lomalo kasav atur kain right. That's the marshal. The parakapara. So that's a different answer. Not the answer of Safek, but that in this Kemamon, this is an exception, and therefore there's a Ptur Ones, whereas in Trefa, we don't care whether it's an exception or not, we just care that the animal's a Trefa. We care about the reality, the status of the animal. Nothing more, nothing less. Then he adds, V'chein kosav arambam lehedya. Avalinian trefos in chilik bazel mikol makom pachas miyud imatzira floshayich tzad misa vimkein kozman shalomesa lo metrafinan av shalom omdad kan lishono. He says udvarim dechonim, and then he says ubeprisha morichami, meaning the Bach kosvu diyesh mida safek latur is a teretikar bigamara ein tzarech lezeh klal viyesh kantam migdukteim agadolim bedivrei beis yosef, and so on and so forth. Okay. So that's where he talks the other thing. I just wanted to point out that what does he mean when he says the Rambam kasav zeh behedya? Presumably he's referring to the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tesvav. Right? Where the Rambam says, uses the expression ones. Except that, just to point out, that the Rambam isn't talking about this case. Right? What's the Rambam talking about?
Yeah,
the Ramsama where an animal fell into a boar and died without there being 10 tvachim at all. Meaning he fell into a boar of 5 tvachim, let's say, in you know, the gandari, or maybe altogether didn't come out even to the impact of 10. So the Rambam is explaining the din that a boar, you know, if an animal dies in a boar, but the boar doesn't have the shiur, not the cheptesh boar only, necessarily. Not clear. In the case of the Rambam, it's not necessarily the case of the you know, akuva or whatever. It's a case where it's simply not kedei lahamis. So there the Rambam says, ones. And again, according to my suggestion, that isn't onus either. It's not onus rachmana patre. It's onus, and therefore it's not a takala. It's not a mechayev of takala of misa legabe bor. So both the case and the explanation are not necessarily. So it's just interesting that the marshal picked up on that Rambam and thought that that Rambam was the basis for distinguishing between Treifa and... and again, for the Rambam, you don't even need it, because the Rambam, in regarding Treifa, happens to think that it's not a Treifa. Okay. So that's just something that I wanted to point out. Okay. Now, the final thing that we want to discuss before we move on is the question of being mashlim, or mosif rather, from one board to another, and who's chayav. We talked about it generally. I just want to read the Shakam Tari and the Gemara and talk about the Rishon just for a couple more minutes. Yeah.
Just to clarify, for assuming that the Rambam actually isn't the chalak between Treifa and Bor, how would the Rambam read the Gemara? I mean, he just wouldn't pass him as not like
yeah. I think you'd have to say that.
Either possible or just not possible.
Correct. That he thought, that's what some of the Nosa Kalim say, that he thought that the whole Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara is only a Leva Darab. And unlike the Rib.
The Gemara specifically said there was not one to Shmuel.
Right, I'm saying that
you can't
if you're
because Rav says Havala, no
meaning the whole problem doesn't arise if you don't paskin, if you don't accept Rav to begin with. That's what he was.
Yeah, so the Rav
almost like the opposite of what the Rush says about the Riff. Right. I mean, the Rush says about the Riff that you know he paskins that there's Havata under 10.
Yeah, it also paskins like Rav.
Because he paskins like Rav about Havala. And he understands though that like, the whole, therefore the rest of the Gemara is kind of superfluous. And then some of the Nosa Kalim say like the opposite, you know, for the Rambam. The Rambam Paskin's like Shmuel, so he doesn't really have to get into, he just doesn't think that how there are two answers in the Gemara, and Paskin's like one, not the other, or something like that. But, right. In the end of the day, it sounds like the Rambam would require the, like, that the, like it'd be a dead fall, I guess, not a live fall. You know, or, yeah, something like that. Okay. Anyways, so let's finally just let's go. Let's just have somebody, Rami. You want to read for us? Just to read through the Gemara on the Hemshech of the Gemara on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, just quickly, and talk about these cases. We talked about them very quickly, but I just want to. Point out also on the Shakam Tari. Bor Shel Shnei Shotfim, which we read actually earlier in the year anyway. Go ahead.
Bor Shel Shnei Shotfim, Avar Lava Rishon, Delo Kisao, Vashini, Delo Kisao,
Ashim. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara later on, as Rashi points out, explains that the first guy is you know, involved with it, etc. So he's not really Chayiv. Okay. Go ahead.
Amar Bor Shel Shnei Shotfim, Hiki Mishakalam, Haniko Yisrael and Kirby Kiva, Damar Bor Shuto Chayiv, Mishakalam, the Patser Shel Shnehem,
yeah, so then you have Bailus on the board. And as we said, this is a big issue. We still have to spend some time really going through each of the shifas of this, right? Whether being, you know, a Maisa Hefker is also a Yitziris Atakala, you know, and again, whether something that you own can be a Takala, which you're Chayav for. And, you know, we especially were trying to draw a very fine line. You know, within you know Shitas Rav and others, between you know Karka Olam, on the one hand, you know being you know excluded from Takala because it's you know, it's just part of the terrain, and you know Karka Atzmo being excluded because it's his. Now you're talking about Takala that you own, but it's yours. It's your you know your favorite you know boar, you know, your pet boar or something like that. That'll be that, but yeah. Okay, so that's a big issue we still have to talk about. Go ahead. Ella.
Ella eats your own board, Rishuto Potter, Higgin, Shakal, Zechaibalaham, Rishutaram. Rishutaram, in Borshal, Shishal, Shishut, being Higgin, Shakalam. Either Shabu Shlia, Tarvaidu, Gomri, Zeal, Karilan, Gazu, Karilu, Angel, Dinora, there.
Ah, so this, of course, we had in the beginning of the year where we talked about these are the Sugi here in Nun Aleph and Nun Gimel. The Rashi and Gimel, the Mishnah Melech, and then the Sugya and Kiddushin, right? Being a separate parak about Ein Shliach Udvar Avera applying to Nizke Mamon, but specifically to Bor, which is here, and to Eish in the Sugya and Kiddushin, and whether it's limited to Bor and Eish, or whether you know, the idea of Avera here is a Melitza, more about you know lack of Bailos, not necessarily Avera, right? But that's what we discuss, okay? Oh, so here's where the Gemara says something that we need to pick up on. Idikar hai chamisha, v'hai chamisha, nistalka luhu maisa risha. meaning if you go from a bor nezek, right, Rami? From a bor nezek to a bor katala, that does what? That is, well, the second guy will be chayiv and the first guy will be potter. So if you go from tes to yud, here it's really from hey to yud, but it doesn't matter. Hey has no special yichus, right? So hey to yud or tes to yud, it sounds like ha'acharon is going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, go ahead. Hello, Rebbe. Oh, and
Ezekiel Mishkafala. Hello, Rebbe Lunita, Lurabanan. Bain Lunita, Bain Ezekiel, Taking Mishkafala.
Right, because the Rabbanan and Rebbe regarding Misa really do hold that the Acharon is only Chayiv, so there's no Shutfas. But at least Rebbe will have a case regarding the Zikin, right? Legabe, you know, Tes to Yud or Hey to Yud. Okay. Meaning, what does that mean?
They
actually dig the tenth tefach together. So they're really shutfim in transforming a bor nezek into a bor katala. Right? So that is a maisa shutfas. Okay. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean by my Rebbe, my Rabbanan? Yeah. So, again, as I already said, I just want to just pick up the actual technical Lishonos and whatever of the Rishonim. So whose position is easier to understand? More Mechudash or less Mechudash? Rebbe or the Rabbanan? What do you think? Like if somebody asks you this question, what would your Muskal Rishon, let's say, be? Like Rebbe or the Rabbanan?
Rebbe,
yeah. I mean, Rebbe is the more obvious position, certainly. Right? Maybe the less exciting position, but the more obvious position. Namely, why?
Because he retains the
Ketiv and Ezekiel. Because you're Chayv and Ezekiel for Bortes. So why should there be a difference between, you know, once you went to Yud, right? Why the guy? What? Why does that make you? Why is that a stalek ma'isa rishon? There's a shame born nezek, or there's the capacity of nezek in this bor, right? And let's say you've quantitatively expanded, you know, that capacity. Or okay, let's just say it that way for the moment. So the that's mistalek ma'isa rishon, unless you think it is. But if you think it is, then why would you say the same thing about, let's say, ches to tes, or hey to vav? I mean, every time you go to a higher capacity, in nezek, the first guy's off the hook, and everything belongs to the second guy? Right, you could have said the opposite, actually. You could have said, you have a bor nezek already, so maybe everything's on the first guy. Like, there are always three possibilities. The first guy, the last guy, both guys, right? And it's hard to figure this question out, as I said the other day, because, you know, you can always say that the first guy, you know, if he's done the minimum, should be chayiv. It's not always so logical, but he should be exclusively chayiv, because he already created the bor nezek. The problem with it, with the first guy, is on a practical level, there are two problems. Like on a practical level, right, you don't know in the case of the particular nezek that took place, you know, from a probability point of view, right? You know, in terms of assessing it, whether the added—I mean, it's ridiculous to assume that added quantity is irrelevant. You know, certainly in the case of nezek, right? So to say the first guy is exclusively chayiv and never the guy beyond, when there is a question about that, would point to a very formal hagdara. Let's just define what we're talking about. But if you think that, even if you believe in formal hagdaros, the formal hagdaros may require, you know, that it correspond, as we've said, completely disentangle the correspondence of, you know, what actually caused the nezek, you know, and the shame bor. So it's hard in nezek. In a bor nezek, it's harder, let's say, to say that the kama, the first guy, is chayiv legamri. And if you say that, even when you're ignoring, right, a serious possibility that the second guy's contribution, you know, was decisive here, I would say it points in a formal direction. If you're confident that the original level of the bore was sufficient to cause the nezek, right, that's a different story. But then, for example, you might want to be mechalek, you know, in different cases. You might want to say, oh, there's a difference between extending a bore, you know, from one, you know, to nine, you know, and then from from eight to nine. You know, like in both cases, it could be the difference. Well, and there are two things. Number one, you might want to make that chiluk, or at least that should be a possibility. It should be part of the actuarial, you know, assessment. Or you might want to take into consideration the nature of the particular nezek. As he twisted his ankle, it doesn't take much. You can twist your ankle in a tefach or in a kol shu. But no, he broke his, you know, what are they all breaking these days? A something with a ACL? Is that it? What? I mean, the pitchers all tear their rotator cuff, right? But then the running and jumping, you know, sports all tearing their ACLs or something. It's like the smata doros in the ACLs. Right? And nobody used to tear them, and now they're tearing them all the time. So get like there's some assessment, right, of like how much does it take to do that, based on bone strength and, you know, the level of impact. You can say, oh, you know, no normal, you know, if the guy's been, you know, drinking milk, you know, for all of his life, then, you know, this five tefach pit, you know, definitely could tear the ligaments. Doesn't take much. You twist your ankle and it, you know, tears the ligaments. I used to do it every couple of weeks. But you know, to really break something, which is more of an impact thing, so why isn't that, or why shouldn't that? We'll see in a second. There is an echo of this in the Torah and Shmonara. Right? But all I'm saying is, the more you think that, and that you could have two scenarios. In 1 to 10 on Nezek, right, you could have two opposite, dramatically opposite scenarios. You could be convinced, you know, that it would have happened anyway, because what happened according to the previous state, right, is likely to have happened. Either way, maybe there's not even any further incidents, you know, or it's negligible. Like if there's an 80% chance of tearing your, you know, your bone or tearing your ligaments, let's say in two tefachim, you know, and then in between 2 and 9, it doesn't go up anymore, or it goes up very negligibly. So that's kind of one scenario. So that really puts, you know, the onus from a practical point of view on the kama. Then you could have exactly the opposite. You could say, again, you broke this bone. Typically, it doesn't break less than 8 tefachim, right? Because you need some level of impact, right? But, you know, you're still going to put it on the first guy? That's very formalistic. And then, of course, there are many cases where you just don't know. So if you're mechayiv shneim, where it seems that the kama, you know, practically did enough, right? Or you're not mechayiv, or you're mechayiv shneim, where it seems like the basra did it all, right? That is going to point in a certain direction. And again, unless you want to just low plug everything, same. But from the halachic point of view, from a formalistic point of view, you could just say, well, every bor, you know, 1 to 10, you know, is a bor l'nezek, you know, and they're all the same because they all have the potential, and they don't usually do more. So al pidin, it's the same. If it's all pidin the same, then the question of kama, you know, then everything is possible. If it's all the same, it could be kama, could be basra, istalik maisa rishon, you know, could be shnei. Okay. So this is an interesting question. So when it comes to Rebbe, so Rebbe's comment that Lagabe, so again, you went from 10, let's say, from 9 to 10. Is that any different from going from 8 to 9? So the answer is, actuarially, you know, you should be treating those things pretty much the same, except for if there really is, you know, the difference. Oh, it's this terrible kind of a break, and the orthopedic people say, you can't have that unless you have, like, a 12-tefach bore. Okay, maybe. Right. But let's assume not that way for the moment. So then, in the chalos bore, is what I'm trying to say, in A is a chalos, B, as Yitziras HaTakala, you know, then this doesn't make any sense. Right. So what Rebbe says, you know, in terms of, you know, Shnehem, as opposed to Kama or Basra, or as opposed to Kama, is still open to question, maybe. But, you know, let's assume there's like a big gray area, so they're both contributing. Makes a lot of sense. Elagabe Misa, what about the Misa part? Tzvi, what would you say about the Misa part? That the only Achron is Chayev? Makes sense?
I think you can say one of two things. You can either say that the Achron is Chayev because now it's a completely different halos. Or you can say like that second Lashon Rashi and Daf Gimel that says that the first guy can always make the Taina that those that it didn't have 10 Tfachim worth of Misa. My four of nine didn't have Misa in it. So it's a very technical thing that he could say, I didn't make a Bor Misa, so the next guy was the one who actually created the Bor Misa.
Right, 100%. So that's the second part, the Misa part, that the Misa part would be all on number two, for various reasons, is very reasonable. Right? Again, is it Mukhrach? No. Because even then, let's say I say a Bor Misa is only 10. Right, so that's an interesting question. So you have a bore 8, or a bore 9, or a bore 9.99999, you know, and then you cross that magical, you know, threshold, you know, to 10. Right? So you could have said, you know, there's no 10 if there's no 9. So to say that the Rishon, the Kama, would be Chayev, that of course you can't say. That's ridiculous. But to make the point that maybe Shneim will be Chayev, because there is no bore 10 without a bore 9, it's not from a practical point of view, that's not an unreasonable argument. From a formalistic point of view, you could say, well, there was a Bor Nezek, and now there's a Bor Katola. He was Mechadesh completely, and he was Mesalek, you know, Maitzer Rishon. Or, as Glykos Tzvi was saying, and that is that this is the Rubicon, therefore this consequence was totally his. Yeah?
At this point, the Gemara does have a Havamid every Dilma with the Kama, meaning that there is a Havamid with only the first that is Chayev.
Yeah.
That Havamina is, I think, hard to understand. But I think Rigmar does accept that it might be a possibility because, I don't know, maybe if not for the first nine Tfachim dug, the last Tfachim wouldn't have done anything.
Right. But is that a Nezek or is that going to be a Misa?
It's Misa, it looks like. Maybe it's not impossible.
So we'll get to this in just a second. Right. So the assumption there seems to be, you're right, Rak Lechi Yuvei Kama, but, I mean, that's the line in not Misa, that's a Nezek.
No, it's Misa. Both.
What? It's on both?
I mean, it's asking about the Rabbanan Shita. They hold both Achron Chayiv.
Right. I thought it's in the Nekuda where the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe, which is in the Nezek part. Right. I'm saying, but I'm just saying, when you have a Bar Misa, what does that do? Also, the Gabe Nezak. Okay, well, we'll read it inside just a second. Let's take one thing at a time. We'll get to it in just a second. Okay, so that's Rebbe. What about Rabbanan? Rami? That's more difficult to explain, right? Again, the Misa part. Rebbe, so that's not a problem. What's the more difficult part of the Rabbanan? The Nezek part. Right? Because what happened to the Nezek? So you could, again, if you think that every time you add to Nezek, it's always Mesalek Maaser Rishon, you know, then, like if you go again from 3 to 4, from 8 to 9, right? Behu Adin, you know, going from 10, from 9 to 10, you know, then that would be perfectly fine. But if you think that is, we'll see in a second, right? The Ra. But if you think that is not true, And you think that 8 to 9, or 9 to 9.9, you know, the Shneam will be Chayavim, right? And then all of a sudden, if you go to 10, only the 10th is Chayiv, even on the Zakin, never mind the Misa, right? That means that something qualitative has changed here, right? So unless you think again that, you know, that shifts the likelihood that it abort 10, everything, you know, it doesn't make sense. And we're not necessarily, you know, we're saying again, we're not saying, oh, this kind of autopsy, you know, not autopsy because it's a nezek, this kind of, you know, impact, you know, doesn't usually happen even in a bore 9.999. So it's, we're not saying that. We're going across the board. We're saying any nezek belongs to the second guy. Now, if that, again, if that's exclusive to a situation where you're creating a chalos bor yud, then the implication is that this is a formal din. And it's a din of, you know, the bor test is gone, you know, completely. You're in a killer bor now, and there's no nezek bor inside of the killer bor. You could have said, okay, there's a bor, you know, there's two chaloses. But that doesn't mean that the bor misa is mafkia the bor nezek. The bor misa is a bor misa. Now, you could have said, there's no such thing as a bor misa. It's a bor. Like, you know, like, again, like the, that's what we thought were the 2 days of Rashi and the general machlokas that we showed him already, you know, the first parrot, right, in terms of, you know, two of, not being two avos or two avos meaning basically, you know, the same thing. In terms of the limudim, in terms of kedei lahamis, and so on and so forth. So we're basically saying there's one bor. The only question is, actuarially, again, what's, you know, what, you know, correspondingly, what causes, you know, this damage? You know, if you say that, so the bor misa, not a bor misa, it's a bor nezek plus. And, you know, at a certain plus point, you know, it includes misa as well. It's kedei lahamis. Lahamis is a super nezek, or stronger, more devastating nezek. Right? If you think that there's something called the bor misa and a bor nezek, and they're different chaloses, but even, that's what I'm trying to point out, even then, you could still say what Rebbe says. Maybe what Rebbe's saying is, we just discussed two possibilities of Rebbe, Rebbe's saying, yeah, legabe misa, there's now a chalos bor misa. Right? But legabe nezek, right? That one isn't mafki and the other. Mafki and the other, the two bors can coexist. So legabe nezek, it's a bor, you know, it's a bor nezek plus. And legabe misa, it's only a bor misa, but we're talking about nezek. That's the debate. All right? So basically, the chachamim, the best scenario for the chachamim is to say that, you know, bor misa is mafkia. Bor misa is separate from bor nezek, and it's even mafkia bor nezek legabe even nezek. Right? Okay, let's continue. Oh, so just to point out again, this could just be a limud, for sure, but in light of the Yerushalmi in particular, it's very attractive to say that, you know, with or without the Yerushalmi, but, you know, especially with the Yerushalmi, that again, that, you know, the Kiyichrek, you know, Bor-Bor and Kiyichrev and Yiftach in particular is really a way of highlighting the Shame Bor Katala and the Shame Bor Nezek. Like, that's exactly the point. That's exactly what's going on, right? Yeah, go ahead. That's it. And again, Silik Maitzarishon, I'm suggesting, isn't just the consequence, if this is the case, but it's the din, meaning there are two bors, and once you have a bor misa, that's mutually exclusive, even with a bor nezek legabe nezek. Right? So it knocks it out. It's not just, you know, another way of saying the second guy is chayv and the first guy is potor, right? It's a way of kind of, you know, defining or describing what takes place. V'Rebbe Amalach, right? Hani mitzrok tzrichi, okay. V'Rabbanan. V'Rabbanan
nami mitzrok tzrichi. Ela hani d'Rabbanan amar kra ki fre ishvor, echad v'lo shnai.
Oh, so what do you make of that? Again, it could just be a limud. What do you mean? Ki yichra ish bor echa v'lo shnayim? There aren't two people who are yotzer or bor. What do you do about nezek? So again, if you hold that there's never a chiyuv shnayim in nezek, that's fine, right? But if there is. Or what are we really saying? That there's no overlap between a bar nezek and a bar misa. Not that two people can't create a bar misa. Well, maybe they can't. But the real point is that two people, you know, can't. That there's no bar nezek inside of a bar misa. Either way, this idea that ish bar velo bar echad velo shnayim reminds a lot of what we talked about very briefly in Tosas on Nun Amud Beis, where Tosas is talking about, you know, a full takala, a mitzas takala, right? Again, in mazik, can there be more than one mazik? Shutta, b'shutfas? Presumably. Right? Or again, if two people are korei the last tefach, that the Gemara seems to say clearly is shutfas. So the point here is more about the chalos bors than it is about shutfas in maisi yitziras bor. Okay, Berebi, yeah. Are we boile ki yichra ish bor? Yeah. Now that halacha again stands on its own, but it also could be that again if bor was a din. Just reconstructing, then why wouldn't it be shor bor? Right? But if bor is a dinning yetziras hatakala, again, it could just be it's too removed. It's shev al tasa, now it's al yidei niske mamono. It's just like, come on, it's too much. Or exeris akasa, for sure. But if we think that the, you know, ki yichra, ki yiftach, it's the yetziras or the maintenance of the takala, then of course it has to be. You know, Maisa, it's a Chiddush, even Maisa Adams. Shor Bor, definitely not in the Parsha. Okay, Rabbanan?
Rabbanan, Tri, 14.
Yeah. Okay, Berebi?
Berebi, I need to find a five, find a five.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We may mind you if we may Batra, Dilma, if we may come.
Oh, so again, this is within the Rabbanan, right? I'm just going back to Arya's question. This is a question. If we're trying to find a makar for who? For the Rabbanan, right? Yeah?
And you're not going to have one of them
inside. One second. I'm just going to make sure I read the Gemara properly here. My Talmud Rabbanan, right? So my Talmud Rabbanan means. In what's exclusive to the Rabbanan versus Rebbe. No? Which is Nezek, I thought. But so why is it my Talmud Rabbanan? And then the Gemara is going back and forth to show in what are the Rebbe, what is the Rabbanan, what does Rebbe do with this? The Pashtus, it's only for the Rabbanan. So that's what I thought, that the Gemara's question here is, I also thought it was very important, Avamina. Duma l'chiyuve kama, meaning when it comes to Nezek. Right? I mean, there's only one, not both. That's the view of the Rabbanan. Yeah. How do you know which one? So which one regarding Misa isn't the question, because even the even Rebbe agrees with that, that's the second one. The question is regarding the Zikin. Meaning, so why would it be that the first one would be Chayav for Nezikin? The guy who made the bor misa is going to pay the nezek too. That I think is right. The guy, since the Torah emphasizes vameis yelo, in the same case, which also we're darshaning in terms of the nezek, so obviously the onus is on the bor misa creator. Not, I don't think so.
So is that a deeper because of Behoved that the person who did the last kriya, and usually you're talking about a case where he made it into yod? Like, what's going to the person who says chesvetes, they're going to also think achron chayiv? How are they going to read that gemara?
I'm not following. That's not Bar Mesi alone. There's no, it's not a Bar Mesi.
Right, so
we'll get to Chesed in a minute. But I'm just
so that man, the Amr, who thinks Tess, the Rabbanan, still hold Achron Chayev Davka, how are they going to read the Gemara if it's just about Nezek? Bar Mesi, he loves no Sheikhis.
No, the Pasuk for sure is also talking about a case of Misa. The question is it talking about Misa and Nezikin? The way that Rabbanan are reading the Psukim is that when you dig a Bar Mesi, so if I'm ACLO, right, and of course, and if Nezek, then you'll pay that. That's all. So then the Gemara is saying, but again, this is the Mokar for the Rabbanon versus Rebbe. Rebbe agrees that when it comes to the Misa, the Achron is Mishalim. That's not a question. You don't need a pasuk for that to differentiate Rabbanon versus Rebbe. We're just saying that since the Psukim do emphasize I'm ACLO, right, so it's obviously talking about the second guy. So if it's talking about the second guy, who went in, Legabe Nezikin. So that's how we know that the Kama is not Chayiv for the Nezek. That's, what's a Havamina? The Havamina is that the Kama would be Chayiv for the Nezek, and the Basra would be Chayiv for the Misa. That's all. Now, why does that make sense? The answer is because the Kama built the, he's the one who created the Chalos Bar Shal Nezek. So this is the opposite view of what, you know, what we're, the way we're interpreting the Rabbanan is that the chalos, yitziras, chalos bor, shalmisa, is mafkia, is talik maisa rishon. It's mafkia, the bor shal nezek. The nezek takes place in the bor shal misa. It's not that it's, you know, the bor shal misa, you know, also includes a bor shal nezek. Correct? That's how we're interpreting. So the Gemara says, how do you know that? It didn't have to be that way. Maybe the Rabbanan is actually saying exactly the opposite. The Rebbe is saying that both of them, when it comes to Nezek, that there should fim on the Nezek. Because there's a Bor Misa and there's a Bor Nezek. The Bor Misa expanded the Bor Nezek. So two things happened at that time. There was the creation of a Bor Misa, right? And there was the expansion, which is Achron's sole responsibility, liability, when it comes to Misa. But there was also an expansion, like from Hay to Vav, or Zayin to Ches, or Ches to Tes, and now you made a Yud to Yud, Tes to Yud, and the Bor Nezek. So they hold that you're Chayiv exclusively, the Achron is Chayiv exclusively for the Misa, and both of them are Chayiv for the Nezek. But how do you know that Rabbanan disagree and say that once you build a Bor Misa, the Bor Nezek is Paka Legamri? Maybe what he holds is, there's a Bor Misa, and there's a Bor Nezek. The Bor Misa belongs to the Achron, and the Bor Nezek belongs exclusively to the Rishon. So the Nezek should be paid fully by the Rishon. Again, now if actuarially you prove that this particular break only happened in a Bor of 11, would that make a difference? Maybe, or maybe not, because maybe Alpidin, you know, the same reason that the Bor Misa is the exclusive responsibility of the second guy, the Bor Nezek is exclusively the responsibility of the first guy. Because even if there's no, I'm saying, you might say if I can do the autopsy the science on the assessment of the injury, it doesn't matter if I prove that the 11th Tefach or the 10th Tefach did it. If the answer is yes, then certainly we can understand that. But I would suggest, default, the answer is no, we don't really care. Because Alpidin, he created a Bor Nezek, and there's a Nezek. So the Takala that he created is the Mazik, meaning the Bor Mazik man, Ruvain, not Shimon, he pays exclusively for that. That's what the Gemara is saying. Right? Legabe Nezek, why say that the Bor Misa subsumes the Bor Nezek, or there is no Bor Nezek, there's a Bor Misa which, you know, it's also Chayiv for Nezek. Don't say that for the Rabbanan. Say Hailuchu Dekoy v'Hailuchu Dekoy, as opposed to Rebbe who's saying that there are two Bailim on the Bor Nezek, and there's one Bailim on the Bor Misa. But yeah, I that's how I read it. I stand by that. I think that's clear. It would be sensational to say that only Kama would be Chayiv for Misa. But then Rebbe would have to say it too. Right? Then you'd say that the majority stakeholder, the majority builder of the Bor Misa, you have what you're trying to say is, till you hit Yud, there's a Bar Nezek. And once you hit Yud, so now there's a Bar Misa. But who's the three-quarters builder of the Bar Misa?
That would be on top of
it. Right. I just I would love to see that. I don't believe that this Gemara says that. And I think it would be sensational, you know, but it would be, you know, sensational. Right. But not seeing it, I'd like to see it because I like to see sensational things, but I'm not, I don't expect it, is what I'm trying to say. Okay. So, but either way, it's an incredibly fertile shock of guitar. Okay, continue.
Rami?
Wait, so how does that go? I'm sorry. Who the Kavid Misa? The Kavid Misa is the guy who's going to be chayv even for the Nezek. Meaning that the shame Bor Misa is Mafkia, the shame Bor Mazik Legamri. Or he becomes, or the shame Bor Misa becomes the Bailim over the Bor Misa, or over the Bor Nezek also. I think those are two ways still to say. Okay, Rami? Good. V'hai v'metzi elo mibailei l'chad Rava. Yeah. That's already an important din that we're not going to get to right now, but hopefully at some point we'll get to it in the second half. Amri, the din of Kachim and so on. Amri. Yeah. Okay. So, that is the Shaka Vitaria. Okay, so the questions then are, because our analysis has been based on, who do we paskal like, Rebbe or Rabbanan, by the way? Rabbanan. So that's good, right? We get the more, much more mechudash shita. However, there's still a bit of a wild card, right? Because we still don't know the status of ches to tes. Right? And not knowing ches to tes dampens our capacity, right, to assess more accurately the implications of what we know about tes to yud. Right? Rami? So what do we know about ches to tes? So we have this tosis. Oh. So, Tosa says that ches to tes is a partnership. And it's only tes to yud that is different. Then the next Tosas, which we'll get to in the Gemara in just a second, says that, by the way, yud to yud aleph is the same as ches to tes. Ches to tes, yud to yud aleph, Yud to Chaf are all the same. That's what Tosis basically says. Here. Correct? Oh. So if Ches to Tes is Shnehem, and only Tes to Yud is Achron, right? And Yud to Yud Aleph and Yud to Chaf is Shnehem, right? So then what certainly seems to emerge as the most likely explanation is that the chalos shem bor lemisa and chalos shem bor lemizikin are different, A, and even different with regard to being koveya lemizikin. Correct? Okay. Who disagrees about the ches to tes? The Ra'ah. Excellent. So the Ra'ah, and it's a suffix, I think I mentioned, the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam, who says, now it's interesting, the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam makes it much more technical. He says about the ches to tes, he's mistopic. Not sure about the ches to tes. He's wondering, can the Rishon always say to the Achron, you know, if not for your added, you know, nezek, if your added efforts, you know, what I did didn't cause the problem. Does he have that tain or not? Anybody have a language of the Talmud Rabbeinu Tam? Yeah?
So the
That's a question. Okay. And the language of the Ra'ah, you have it there, Rami?
Yeah.
Go ahead. So the Ra'ah actually says two chidushim, right? Right? So the first chidush is that ches to tes. What's the halachan test to test?
Only the Risha is
only the Risha, only the Kama is Chayiv. Only the Kama is Chayiv? The Achor is Chayiv. Yud to Yud Aleph, only the Kama is Chayiv. That's the second Chiddush. Correct? Yeah. That second Chiddush is also Tosas on Yud Amud Beis, the one that Rabbi Kivager points out, you know, as well. So just to make it clear, if we think that ches to tes and tes to yud are the same, then we lose any benefit of this whole chalos idea. Okay, because just basically, you know, always the achron. Now the question is, what about yud to yud aleph and yud to chaf? So let's read that Gemara quickly. Go ahead, Rami. Tan Rabbanan. So here's a case of Kulan Chayavin. And again, according to the Ra'ah, this is the only case of Kulan Chayavin. Right? Because according to the Ra'ah, Ches to Tes is the Chiyuv of the first one. Right? And Yud to Yud Aleph is the chiyuv of the second one. Right? So again, for the Ra'ah, you don't have even the view that, like whoever did the last one, you can always use the taina. Maybe you have that to have the Talmud or Bein Utam. Maybe the idea is that when it comes to a Nezek pit, whoever created the Nezek pit is the Baal Abor. And even if you added to it, again, even if you added to it, that would end up being the difference. That would be the formalistic idea. When it comes to a Misa pit, right, whoever created the Misa pit is the Baal Abor. Right? So why Yud Techaf? Again, Tosas on Yud Amud Beis says, it's like, you know, you have a fire and you threw another little, the fire is burning and raging. Right, and you threw another piece of wood in it, so the second guy is equally chayiv, or fully chayiv. But that's fascinating because Tosas there is talking about Eish, right? It's Hosafa be'Eish, comparable to Hosafas Bor, right? Yeah, it's just maybe. I mean, it's not a bad idea, obviously. Right, so Tosas there on Yud Amud Beis and the Ra'ah are basically saying Yud to Yud Aleph is all on the Yud. All on the Yud. He's the Yotzer Abor. And whoever created the Eish, it's all on him. But of course you could be Mechalek in either direction. Again, the whole sugya and Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Yud Amud Beis, as I mentioned, we have to go through that. Is, you know, kol shechavti b'miktsas nezakov, right? Or kol sharti miktsas, right? Chavti b'kulo, basically. So the Gemara looks for Bor Yud, Rebbe and Rabbanan. Then the Gemara starts talking about some other cases, which we have to analyze. And Tosa's throwing in the question of age. But it could be that Bor is singular. So what's the difference between Yud and Chaf and Yud and Yud Aleph? Again, Tony Tosis, no difference. Most are shown in the opinion that, again, Ches to Tess, Shneim, Yud to Chaf, Shneim, Yud to Yud Aleph, Shneim. The only thing that's only one of them is Ches to Yud. And that's because of the Chalos, clearly. But according to the Ra'ah, right, it's not true at all. Whoever created the Bor Nezek for practical reasons or for formal reasons is fully chayev. Whoever created the Bor Misa is fully chayev. And there's only one case where there's a chiyuv shneim. That's Yud Tchav. Why Yud Tchav? What's the yichus of Yud Tchav? Yoni? Right. So again, there's a big chiddush in it, because you could have said that, you know, if you dig a Bor Yud, so then you're creating a chalos Bor. If you have a Bor Yud and you dig another 10 tefachim, so you're building a second Bor inside the Bor, you say you're doubling or you're adding, at that point it's quantitative because you're already in the Rubicon of a Bor Misa. I wouldn't say it's a, you know, it's a double Bor Misa, but I would say that the Yitzira, again, the Chalos Bor isn't different, but the Chalos, you know, Kriya with a Chaf, right? The Chafira, meaning the Maisa, is a Maisa, it's an independent Maisa Yetziras Takal. If you had dug the same amount where there's no pit, right, you would have been, you know, we would have labeled this as Yetziras HaTakala. Therefore, this is also called Yetziras HaTakala. The Chiddush is that you can have a Yetziras HaTakala inside a maximal Takala. Maybe that wouldn't be true if it wasn't also true, I'm speculating about this, that the deeper the pit, you know, the more dangerous it is or more likely it is, you know, to cause the Nezek or the Misa. You know, maybe if it was true that whatever a pit of 20 does, a pit of 10 already does, you know, then, you know, we wouldn't look at it as, we wouldn't define it as a, you know, an added Yetziras HaTakala. Or maybe as a double death pit. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if we still even do that. Right? At which point, you know, maybe, like, you know, after you reach a certain point, maybe it's just ridiculous already. You know, it's once you're beyond 50 tvachim or whatever it is, you know, maybe it doesn't matter. But what's fascinating is we don't say that. Whatever that hosafa is it really seriously different between yud and yud tes? And Yod and Chaf? Again, clearly the answer is no. Whatever Yod Tes adds to Yod, it's, you know, on a practical level, is, you know, probably the same as what Chaf does. And yet, according to this view, Tosas in Yod and Beis and the Ra'ah, right? This is what's Koveya. So that's not a din in the reconstruction of the, you know, of the responsibility for the base. It's a dini, Yetziras HaBor, or Chafiras HaBor, Yetziras HaTakal. That's called the Yetziras HaTakal, that's a Chiddush. Go ahead, keep going, just for a couple more minutes, or Minu. And again, just to make it clear, the majority view on the Rishonim, this whole thing is wrong. Because for them, it's Yud Yud Aleph is the same thing. It just means Hosafa, you know, the Bor Misa is always a joint exercise. Right. Now, by the way, what is Tosus who says that Yud to Yud Aleph, you know, is not significant? You know, not Chayiv Shnayim, but Ches to Tes is, again, the Ra'ah says Ches to Tes is not, and Yud to Yud Aleph is not. Correct? But for Bali Tosus, Ches to Tes, we don't know when Tosus says Yud to Yud Aleph is not good enough, only Yud Tchav, Tosa and Yud on the base. But does Tosas think that Ches to Tes is not good enough for Shutfus? So I'm assuming for the moment that the answer is not like the Ra'ah. Now, there's a consistency in the Ra'ah. Right? So let's assume for the moment that what Tosa says in Dibra Maschal Ha'achron Chayev is true even for Yud Amud Beis. But what he says in Bor Yud, right, that's not true. So then what you have is also a very interesting phenomenon. Namely, when it comes to Bor Shel Nezek, there's always Shutvus. Why? Because the quantity... I think there could be two explanations. Again, in Bor Shel Nezek, there's always partnership. Whatever you add. And in Bor Shel Misa, there's never partnership unless you have a multiple of Yetziras HaTakala. Why should that be true? So either for practical reasons, again, maybe the range of Nezek, you know, is just more fluid, like we were talking before, you know, and I stick by it, you know, what it takes to snap some, to tear your ligaments, you know, or to break a bone. Okay, but maybe in general, in Nezek, again, there's Nezek and Kolshu, and like, there's, you know, either because there's one shame Nezek, or, you know, the range just is more wide-ranging, depending on, you know, people's, how much milk they drink, and what their constitution is, and, you know, the angle of how they fell, or whatever it is, and so on and so forth. So, when it comes to being Mosif, quantitatively, when it comes to Nezek, right, that always is a chalos, and therefore there's a partnership. When it comes to Bor Shel Misa, right, so it goes by multiples of 10, because it's the absolute. That this is a more technical way to explain it. Right? You know, Misa is the absolute, and you have the Rubicon, and it goes by tens. Okay? There's no such thing as death plus. Maybe there's more Nezek, more severe Nezek, right? That's, of course, ignoring a very important point, and that is, just because something can kill a 10 doesn't mean it isn't more likely to kill a 15, but okay. Yeah.
How does that explain ignoring the difference between the Zeke and also Mark between 10 and 11? We should still at least...
Between...
If we take that perspective, there should still be a shared responsibility in the case of the Zeke and 10 and 11.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, so unless you still say... Because we're not saying... No. Again, for the Ra'ah, it's one thing, right? Because the Ra'ah has Ches and Tes and Yod and Yod Aleph. But assuming the Bali Tosas think that Ches and Tes is different than Tes to Yod, right? Even though Yod to Yod Aleph is not the same as Yod to Chav, so I could still say that Tes to Yod is Yetziras HaChalos, a new Chalos, and there's a shame Bor, Misa, that you don't have. That's within the Zikin. All the Zikin is, you know, is different. And Tes to Yud is a new Chalos. That's not a Shutfus. Because now you have a Bor Misa, and Bor Misa is Misalik, like the language of the Gemara, the Bor Tes. Again, for the Ra'ah, you can't say that so much because of his view on Ches and Tes. I'm saying if Tosas holds Kes and Tes is Shutfus, Tes and Yud is Achron, and Yud and Yud Aleph is only Kama, then that's fine.
Then at least for Misa, we would have to say that's all Cholos, because then between 10 and 11.
But within Misa, right, there's no. Within Misa, there's no hierarchy like there is in the Zika. Nezikin, the added quantity is a shutfas. Within Misa, there's no shutfas. But going from Nezik to Misa, right, it still eliminates the Bar Nezik. Pertosis. Even Pertosis is unit base. For the Ra'ah, that isn't true because the Ra'ah is saying even from Ches to Tes, there's no shutfas. So he just doesn't think the whole Chalos thing is true, or at least not with respect to this halacha. Okay, so so that's the difference between Tosas on Yud Amud Beis and the full package, let's say, of the Ra'ah. Okay, So, but it also should be noted that there's a day in the Gemara. Keep going. Yeah. So wait, so the Gemara, yeah, go ahead. And that Shir Misa means Chav. So again, according to Tosis, it means, the most Rishonim, it means anything more than Yud. Right? And according to Tosis on Daf Yud Amud Beis and the Rav, it means from Yud to Chav. Okay. Go ahead. So that's creating a shame for the Misa. Yeah. Go ahead. The Lola Nizakin, both. Yeah. Yeah. So, there is a day in the Gemara that only Rebbe, right, holds that from Yud to Chaf and from Chaf to Lamed is a Shutfus as well. Right? So again, we go from the majority view, which is that any addition in within Bor Misa is Shutfus. That's one view. Then you have a much smaller view in the Rishonim, that the only shutfus in Bar Misa is when you add the size of a Yetziras Takala on its own, a Chalos Yetziras Takala on its own. That's called, you know, adding to the Bar Misa, because you're adding a measure of Bar Misa, right? And then you have another view in the Gemara that says that even that, you'll only be Chayiv, you know, the Rishon, right? But according to the Rabbanan, even if you add in multiples, that will not constitute a shutfus in Misa Sabar. So it is, how do we paskin? Michael? Like that day in the Gemara, or like, or that Yitzchak is Chayiv? Shnei. What? Rambam? Not looking at the Shulchan Aruch is excusable. If Alex didn't look at the Rambam, that would be excusable, because somebody stole his Rambam. Although now he has it back. Okay, what's the story? Anybody? Shua? We paskin the Yerichav, with one exception. The Meiri disagrees. Meiri in Beis Abchira said in Toledo Lagaba, Meiri in Beis Abchira thinks that the view of Yud to Chaf and Chaf to Lamed and Lamed to Mem is only Aliba de Rebbe, not Aliba de Rabbanan. That's amazing. Meaning Aliba de Rabbanan, once you have a Chalos, Shem, Bor, Misa, there's your stuck. So in a way, it's equivalent, you know, it's a more extreme version of what we said before. Does in the Zikin...
He thinks the second person.
What?
He thinks always the second person.
Only the second, the Miri. Yeah. Always the second guy, sorry. Because you're always Mosif. Yeah. But never, you'll never have Shnayim Chayavim. Okay, so that again is an important shita in Chalos 4. Especially in the possibility of distinguishing between, especially if you hold, which I think the Meiri does. Meiri holds if you go from Ches to Tes, both will be Chayav. If you go from, again, there, if you go from Yud to Yud Aleph or Yud to Chaf, he thinks that only the second guy will be Chayav. Right? Why should that be different than Ches to Tes? Again, it's the same idea that I had before when I was talking about Tosas, namely, either for practical reasons, you just think that the range of what happens in Nezek is much greater, or the idea is that maybe in Bor Misa, there can only be one Balabor, right? Because Yetzirah, the Mechayev is Yetzirah Satakala. Maybe in Nezek, it's much more the reconstruction of the Nezek itself. Okay. Having said that, there is a view in the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Taf Yud, and that is that when you combine a Nezek, that Shneim Chayavim, let's say you go from Zayin to Ches or Ches to Tes, so the Pashtus, what that means for the Bali Tosis and most Rishonim, is that you pay 50-50. Right? The Tur and Shulchan Aruch have the view that you would pay correspondingly according to your contribution. What's not clear is what does that mean? So the truth is, again, you know, from a low plug point of view, the view of the Tur and Shulchan Aruch is a bit of a disaster, frankly. So if you want to low plug and say, well, you know, low plug d'oraisa, I mean, I would understand that. But from a logical point of view, right, it makes a great deal of sense. That if you could figure it out and you're not worried about the variables, so to figure out, oh, this he's responsible for 2/3 and he's responsible, you know, for 3/4 and so on and so forth. Makes a lot of sense. Now, I just want to raise the point, what does it mean to be proportionally responsible? So here, too, there can be two ways of assessing. Right, one way is quantitative according to the level of the pit. Like, you know, the guy went from Ches to Tes, you know, so what? He pays 1/9? The other guy pays 8/9? Now, again, if that's just a way of assessing it, you know, low plug across the board, we can live with that. But let's say we were to agree, you know, that, you know, that wasn't really what happened here. No, there are two ways to assess things, right? One is quantitatively according to how much of the bore he created. The other is to try to medically assess, you know, how what level of nezek is his responsibility, right? Maybe that last tefach, you know, made the whole thing, you know, 50% worse. So again, one factor is just it's hard to, you know, with the range of people and their bodies and injuries or medical, you know, opinion, you know, etc. So you might, you know, maybe the best way to do it is just to divide it up this way. If that's the case, then I have nothing more. I'm just saying that it theoretically, at least, right? If we're talking about Yetziras HaTakala, you could say either for both, is what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if we were to acknowledge, right, that the amount of bore, you know, that you create doesn't correspond to the reconstruction of the degree of your responsibility for the damages, right? And we weren't just going with it as a low plug, right? Then it would be very important. Then we'd be saying, you know, we could be reconstructing to figure out how much blame each person has or how much the last guy contributed to the first. Maybe in some cases, that was the difference between being an injury and not being an injury. So then he would pay 100%. And in other cases, it contributed zero, likely. And then still in other cases, it contributed 5%. You know? But if we're assessing it based on 50-50, like most of the Rishonim, or based on the height of the pit, you know, he added 1/8 despite all of this. Right? And it isn't just policy. And that's an important question. Then clearly what we're saying is, you know, who's the balabor? And how much of a balabor? Again, the reason why it's so hard to pin this down, because in the end of the day you could have said, well, the balabor, legabe sprained ankles, and the balabor, legabe broken toes, and the balabor regarding broken ACLs, you know, is he's a 3/4, he's a 2/3. That's how you measure it. Right? So again, it's very hard to pin it down. But it is reasonable, more reasonable, if you're talking about in advance, you know, Masha Tzafui, the Yetziras HaTakala, if you want to say it's all formal, you know, the Kriya and the Psicha, to say, oh, that depends, you know, on the pit, not on the reconstruction of the injury, or vice versa. Right, that would make a lot of sense. Okay, so that I think is a whole issue to to explore as well. In a way, it goes back to a comment I made in the beginning of the sugya, namely, we have kedei lahamis, right, for a bor misa, and your pater mostly for a bor nezek. So why isn't there the equivalent of kedei lahamis in a bor nezek in general? Again, like, you know, his injury doesn't make sense according to the depth of this bor. Right? But if we say that, you know, the mechayiv of bor nezek is different than bor misa, or just that the range is different, and the fact that misa is the ultimate final, you know, a nezek is by definition a scale, you know, if we start applying some of these dinim, so then it applies not only to why we don't necessarily have a kedei lahazik, you know, relative to the injury, aside from low plume considerations, but also, like, what do we mean by shutfus, and when is it kama? Maybe it's always kama no matter what, because he created a bor nezek, and he created a bor misa. Or is it always basra, or is it because the taina? Or does it depend? Okay, so that... Sorry, I'm a little bit late. The next topic, again, there's much more. I keep saying it, but there is. On bor, even on these issues. But let's leave it for that for now. Tomorrow, let's start on just, you know, the Shaka Vatari on Gimel and Beis and Dalet and Aleph of Adam. And, of course, remembering what we've done. And then the things I gave you to look at, I'll give you more to look at tomorrow. But just let's start with that. You know, what constitutes anus, shmiras atzmo, or maisa hezek, the relationship to Kabbalah, kibbutz rabba minei tosis' question, and dalet amud aleph, all the local things that chabav amud aleph becomes ayin amud beis and the Ramban. And then we'll expand a little more, see how much. We'll try to do, I guess, a little bit of an assessment tomorrow.